May I kindly, before I start, ask the moderator not to start timing me before I give a little prayer, if that is all right with you all. The little prayer I'll give you is the opening chapter of the Quran, and since it is universal in character, meaning, and intent, I quote from the translation. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to God, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not fair, and who go not astray. Amen. Now, my friend, you may start timing me. I realize that here we have an overwhelmingly Christian audience who have every reason to be dismayed when we present facts which may cause them a deep and an inner discomfort. I would like to begin by quoting a biblical scholar. His name is Dr. Hugh J. Schoenfield. Could you please increase the microphone? Yes. Is this loud enough for you in the back? Please tell me, because you can't hear me in the back. Can you hear me now? Is that all right now? I hope I sound good to you. Dr. Hugh Schoenfield is an author of several books, including The Secrets of the Dead Sea Scrolls. I shall quote from one of his books, entitled The Passover Plot, on page 253. He is concluding as a scholar, and he says, and I quote, "The effort of re-evaluation must be very hard for the convinced Christian, because so much of what is dear to him from the Gospels has to be relinquished as unauthentic or occasionally interpreted differently. With all that the Church has taught and insisted upon down the centuries, the Jesus whom informed Christian scholars are in the process of discovery is something of a stranger. Are Christians to be encouraged to get to know the real Jesus and learn to appreciate him? Or is the Church to seek escape from its dilemma by formulating what amounts to new myths about him?" The reason I am quoting this for you is because, like most people, you really have not had a chance to study any other scripture but yours in the Bible. And as my friend Mr. Hiram Hutto tells you, there is no need for anything else. It really amuses me to a certain extent to hear it from a servant of God, an evangelist in a sense, telling God there is no need for you to reveal to mankind any more of your truth. There is no need for you to renew your covenants with mankind. And therefore he concludes, erroneously I must admit, that there is no need for the Quran. May God forgive you. I think that at this juncture of our discussion, I would like to give some food for thought for our very good Christian friends. This is something very recent. Scholars at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem have called for a scientific reappraisal of the beginnings of Christianity in the light of the newly discovered 1500 years old texts of a Judeo-Christian sect claiming descent from the disciples of Jesus himself. The manuscript is said to portray the first Christians in Jerusalem as synagoguers who regarded Jesus as a prophet but not divine, and who observed Jewish law to the letter. But the most important discrepancy revealed concerns a saying in John in the New Testament attributed to Jesus. The quotation, as you all know it, goes like this: "For the Father judges not man, but has committed all judgment to the Son." The manuscript puts it as follows, and I quote, "I shall not judge men or call them to account for their actions. He who sent me will do so." It's very important to realize the difference. The manuscript also gives account of the Passion, which strongly suggests that another Jew may have been singled out by Judas Iscariot and crucified instead of Jesus. Now, whether or not the leaders of Christendom undertake a reappraisal of Christian teachings as urged by the scholars of Hebrew University, the manuscript confirms the Islamic view that the teachings of Jesus have been distorted by his followers, and the Holy Quran admonishes Jews and Christians, whom it always refers to as the people of the scriptures. That is in chapter 4, verse 171 of the Quran. And here is the point. The point is that when the Jews and Christians are being admonished, they are being admonished because in their early days they have learned something of the truth. And today they have a great deal of that truth still embodied in what they have in their hands. The unfortunate aspect is that they do not have pure scriptures. And this is where we say it's unreliable or reliable. And the reliability or unreliability stems from the fact that God, throughout the ages, has been revealing his truth to his selected prophets and messengers. And by necessity, God does not change his mind from time to time. It is one message coming from the one God. The teachings are basically the same. They could not be different. Remember what I told you last night. The very first two commands given to Adam: worship none other than God and obey God's commands. Therefore, they knew what is to be done. And they also knew that there is so much that has crept into the scriptures that is not of the doing either of Jesus or any of his disciples. God's blessings be upon them all. Now, the manuscript I was talking to you about, its story about a wrong man having been crucified, also verifies the Quranic version. And because of their saying, I'm now quoting from the Quran, and because of their saying, "We slew the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, Allah's messenger, they slew him not, nor crucified, but it appeared so unto them. And lo, those who disagree concerning it are in doubt thereof. They have no knowledge thereof, save pursuit of a conjecture. They slew him not for certain, but Allah took him up unto himself." That is chapter 4, 153 and 157. The problem we are confronting here is that sometimes a person does not understand what is authentic and what is not authentic. The authenticity of something is the fact that it is heard or read by people if the author wrote it. In this case, Muhammad did not write, he was illiterate. But those who heard him and wrote it down in his presence, when they repeated it to him, he confirmed that fact. Now these writings, in spite of what my brother Hato says, are in existence, are available in Muslim countries, in their museums, very highly cherished. They are priceless documents. They are documents for mankind. They are available. Of course, there are many Western writers who attempted to blasphemize God's word, even rewrite, after having obtained copies of that Quran, even rewrite something that they thought resembles it. But thank God, the Muslim communities throughout the world were aware of this and they immediately exposed it. Why the unreliability of the Gospels? Because Christianity has no authentic divine scriptures at all. All we have are people who presumably wrote in Greek. No revelation comes to a messenger or a prophet except in the language of that prophet or messenger. And Jesus, God's blessing be upon him, spoke Aramaic, not Greek. I was very much enchanted when my brother Hato mentioned St. Barnabas. Yes, he wrote a gospel. But does the church accept that gospel? You all know that they do not. They have put it in the Apocrypha. Was it canonized? No, it was not. But do you know why it was not canonized? Because it contained an exact translation of the word used by Jesus, God's blessings be upon him, prophesizing the coming of the another comforter. The another comforter, quote, which had between brackets after it an interpolation to mean the Holy Spirit or the Holy God. For certain, you all know that the prediction was not referring to another Holy Spirit, but another comforter, another advocate, another counselor, another prophet. We will talk about this in the second two evenings. But in the course of what I am saying to you now, I shall be answering several of the questions that Brother Hato has raised. No original manuscript of all the books of the New Testament has survived. That is a fact that Brother Hato can agree to. What he cannot agree to is the fact that he has no time, obviously, to read the many scholastic works that are available by Western scholars, and I'll be happy to supply him with a list of it, to know the difference between the authenticity of the Quran versus the New and Old Testament. The four canonized Gospels, Luke, Matthew, John, and Mark, arbitrarily chosen at the Council of Nicaea in the 4th century Christian era, out of many others, are written about Jesus Christ, peace upon him, in a foreign language, Greek, as I told you, and contain no direct revelation to Jesus. While the Holy Quran tells us that the prophets cannot but receive God's revelation except in their native tongue. God says in the Quran, chapter 15, verse 9, "Verily we have sent down the Quran, and we will assuredly guard it from corruption." There is a recognition by God of what has happened to the previous scriptures, the impurities that crept into it, and God promised mankind in his final revelation as a seal of his truth to guard it against corruption. Not a single word has been altered since the Quran was first taken down from the mouth of the prophet as he uttered it on being revealed to him. The revelations came to him, of course, in piecemeal from time to time, but as soon as he received any, he used to communicate it to his disciples and ask them not only to learn it by heart, but also to write it down and to multiply the copies. On each such occasion, he indicated in a precise manner the place to which the now revelation belonged in the whole text, and you can read it for yourself. You have a copy of it. It tells you where each surah has been revealed and the occasion of it. One cannot admire too much this care for preservation when one takes into consideration the standard of the then culture of the Arabs and the corruption that had overtaken all previous revelations. Thus the Holy Quran was committed to writing and preserved in the hearts of hundreds of persons in the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad, something that nobody can claim has happened to the gospel. Of course, there were attempts made by non-Muslims, especially Western writers, to really put doubt about this. But to those who doubt or disbelieve the authenticity of the Quran, God Almighty has thrown a challenge for all times to come. And I quote Surah 11 in Hud, chapter 11, verse 13. And this will be my final quotation for this period. Or they say, he, Muhammad, has invented it. Say then, bring 10 verses, the like thereof, invented, and call on everyone you can beside Allah, if you are truthful. The challenge is there, and the challenge is standing from the time that God has literally shut the mouths of those who try to put doubt in anybody's mind. Thank you.